Sci-fi.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Will. Oh, dude, I'm not ready at all. yeah. I forgot to bring up every fucking thing that I'm supposed to do. And probably this will be
can
for
you
not.
Ever, can you ever turn it on, Wade?
Hey, everybody, welcome to...
Wait, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, God, come on. That's a... You did that on purpose.
No, I didn't. I was just going to say this. This is one thing I always say, and I forgot to say to you. If we go off topic, we never need to get back on topic. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, wait, I lost my... Where's my sheet? Oh, here it is. Okay. Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One cynic, one... fuck. God damn it. Let me do it again. God damn it. What is it? Skeptic. I always say cynic instead of skeptic. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. Hey, subscribe to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi and get 2 bonus episodes a week. Willie, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty swell. I feel better this now than I have for the last couple months. I don't know why.
Oh, I also forgot to say, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it now. I guess it's all everything's its own thing now. Go to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review. We'll read it on the air. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, I guess. Thank you for asking. I'm not doing as well as it's draining on me. I'm getting to the point where I don't know what to do with my time anymore. Well, I keep coming up with new projects and I don't know why.
That's what I'm getting at. I'm doing too many things, but this is the only time to do too many things. So that's why I feel better, actually. Go on.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's a fucking bell curve of like, hey, I'm doing a bunch of shit, and then realizing that you're doing it all for no reason. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend, comedian Jonah Ray. Jonah, how's it going?
Good. That's the credit you give me, comedian. Comedian Jonah Ray. Even I don't say that.
Okay. Well, I get busted on this a lot from the people who I consider comedians. Like, we had Matt Dwyer on and I called him a comedian and he gave me shit for it.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't have called him a comedian.
That's because he's not funny.
No, he's great. I put out his record. I'm the reason Matt Dwyer has vinyl.
What should I have said? Mystery Science Theater 3000, Meltdown, the Nerdist podcast. Like
our friend Jonah Ray. Because you like just referenced a ton of things.
I did say our friend.
I said just our friend. That's all I care about. Friendship. Here's the thing. That's what's keeping me happy. That's what's keeping me happy right now. That's like it's like I got off social media and then I just started reading psychology books and self-help books on the Libby app. And it's and my day to day is happier than
that sounds like branded content. Don't reference your sponsors on our podcast. Oh,
I'm sorry if Libby is the public library app, right?
Of course I knew that because I'm an intellectual.
if you get the Libby app and you connect it to your library, your local library,
snap.
And then you can audiobooks, comics, books, you can.
Fuck, man. I'm going to do it right now.
It's great. I've been blazing through a ton of stuff and it's really, really great.
Good for you. I'm glad to hear that you're being psychologically.
Wow.
I guess self-aware or aware in general, I guess. I don't know.
I'm post self-aware. I became self-aware in my 30s and now that I'm in my 40s, I'm back to being super selfish and needy.
But isn't that because you know yourself now?
Exactly.
Yeah. But like, it's like, but Willie doesn't have that option because he has to be selfless because he has a child.
Exactly.
It is weird how many ideas I come up with and I go, well, I probably won't be doing that no matter how much I like it.
Yeah. Do you ever feel though that like Willie, do you ever like say, I don't know, just are there other performers or creators you like where you kind of go like, it's like, hey, I have an idea. Would you want to make it? Like, is it that kind of, do you ever feel the need to kind of do that?
Oh, snap. Well,
because you know, you think you have like, you have such a breath, but you're also like very personal in your output.
Well, it's weird because I feel like in the last, I would say 6 years, I feel like I accidentally, this is a judgment of myself and I'm too harsh on myself, but I feel like I accidentally pushed away a lot of my friends because we got so used to just seeing them every weekend that I haven't done anything to maintain a friendship other than expect to see them again. You know,
that's a thing I realize. I think like last year or something, like a lot of my friends are kind of based off of like, and it's because since I was a kid, like it's like project based friendships, like yeah. Me and my friends, we started a band or a zine, or, you know, would make little movies. And then when I started doing comedy, it was like, let's work on a thing. And let's do this thing. And then even like with like Neil and Cash with like Jonah Radio, it's like, this is an excuse for us to hang out. And it's even when like, when Wade and I started to become friends, and then like, I got him I got him an interview with at like Web Soup, and it was just like, and Wade and I were like the closest because it's like we'd be working, but we'd also just be hanging out and talking about our lives together. And like, and then like, it's like when we, and same with like Paul Bonanno, all these people we know where it's like, you kind of have to have a thing. It's a facet of your friendship.
Yeah. And so like, I'm realizing that like, oh, since I'm not doing anything, I'm just like, oh, how? Because like, even before the pandemic, I was like, I should start taking friends out for like a meal because like, hey, let's just catch up. We don't need a drink. Let's.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, with that being said, I'm always going to come up with ideas and I'm always going to feel like I can get them all done. Hopefully a few get through. We're all in the situation. We're all creative people that like, if you've got money and or a name, like whatever you want to make, you can do it. And if you don't have money, you should still be doing it. But it sucks to like put out half-ass shit because you don't have the money. I'm like, does that make it worse?
There's a thing that I've been kind of, you know, going through, like I said, getting off social media, and I've started to make more stuff just for myself, just for the joy of making it. And I do have those feelings that Wade brought up of just like, I'm like, well, what it, like nothing's going to happen. Like I'll have an idea for a movie and I'll kind of, and I like wrote like a, you know, adapted a graphic novel with my friend, but like, is that ever going to happen? Is that going to be a thing that's even possible? But like, I still enjoy it. I've been making tons of new songs, like just because that's just a way to like, I like to relax, is just to make music and it's doing it. And like, I have no like really any concept of like, oh, well, how's this going to do something for me? It feels like kind of being like a young creative again.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you guys have that feeling sometimes during this thing where you're just kind of like, I don't know, I'm just kind of like making stuff because like, that's what I do. That's kind of who I am.
Yeah. I mean, totally, like no matter all the things I have planned, like we ended up shooting a movie on Zoom and I'm like, listen, this isn't, it's not going to be the best thing in the world, but I'm glad that we took the opportunity to make it because now is the only time we could do that.
Yeah. You know? I'm like, it would be great. Dumb to do it any other time.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I mean, just cause it was like, yeah. You get it.
Now, my limitations are in my talents. Like, I don't know if, because is music more of a hobby for you? Because like, I would love, I'll bring out my keyboard and I'll try and like write a, like compose like some kind of song on it. And then immediately just realize that like, I'm not talented enough to do that. And then get bored of it and fucking throw it in the trash.
Well, but wait, that's also, that's kind of your disposition in general. And, you know, And I think it's a thing where, like, for me, like, I was, you know, I grew up in punk bands, and I love, like, I love a lot of music that's technically terrible.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know,
like, and I, the music I make is even, like, it's not good. It's, like, a lot of these songs are the same chord progressions, but, like, it's, like, but I'll figure out another kind of lead that I can
figure out. But that's just music, isn't it? Isn't every, you know, you hear, like, these... Like, for instance, we're all big fans of the Bare Naked Ladies here. Mm-hmm. They famously do, like, a melody where they just do the same three chords and go through, like, all of the top hits of the day. Like, yeah. When they're live, they'll do that. And it's a lot of fun, and everyone loves it. And everyone loves that band.
yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, music is, like, that's just what it is. It's a way of, like, making those same three chords sound differently.
But you know that. You just you know, talked about that, yet you get in your own way and you, like, throw away whatever thing you're working on with the keyboard.
Yeah, because it's like, because I don't know. Like, if I'm making a cartoon or something, I draw it and I keyframe it, and at the end of me doing that, there's a thing. At the end of me, like, dicking around with a keyboard for 2 hours, it's nonsense and nothing. And it just makes me feel like I've gotten nowhere.
But I think it's like that's never nowhere, though. Playing music, even just that there's no end result, that's still time well spent with yourself and your talent.
100%. And that's why, like, I consider it a hobby and not something that I'm ever, like, putting out into the world as, like, something that I think I'm going to gain from. It's just me going, like, I feel like digging around with the keyboard, even though nothing is ever going to come from it, you know?
Yeah. That's my favorite thing. Like, since I got, like, when I first got a MacBook, 2007, around then when they came out, I think, or 2006, like in the GarageBand came with it. And it was like
life changing.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I stopped, like, I remember I was playing Tony Hawk all the time, and then I got that. And then it was that, like, playing with the loops and the samples, and it was, like, also kind of, like,
user
friendly, and, like, that's all I ended up doing. Like, I just wouldn't, and it's the best video game, because then you can just, like, make something terrible. Like, I've made so many terrible songs, pretty much all of them. But, like, it's like, I like that I can make a terrible song and then it's done.
Yeah.
And then I found, like, a dumb, like, you know, like, mastering thing, like, I think it's called Lander or something like that online, where it's like, it's like $5 and you can have it, like, mastered, like, you upload it to their site.
Oh, snap.
Oh, weird.
It makes it sound, like, real big and wide.
Wow. You know? Yeah. Was it Lander?
Yeah, Lander with L-A-N-D-R. Vince,
this is a current thing?
Yeah, Vince Averill showed it to me. He was like, he told me about it. That's how, like, his band, he has a hardcore band, great hardcore band called Cross Control.
I didn't know, like, he's in a band.
God, he's the singer, and they're so good. They're like early 90s style, like, hardcore music, and it's really, really good.
Hey, how's your album doing, man? Your latest one. You Can't Call Me Al.
The Weird Al one is, I mean, it's great. I had a great time writing it, had a great time recording it, and then playing shows. Like, you know, we had the first pressing of the vinyl, which was 500, sold out within a day and a half when we announced it. Yeah. And then the second pressing is, like, almost sold out again too.
Oh, sweet. That's the first album I don't have of yours. I have to go get.
But oh, like, yeah. Oh, like, no, I have an extra one. I'll give you one. I'll drop it off.
I'd rather support you, but
you do support me. You're like, you're a good pal.
Okay. But, like, that, I don't know if I mean, like, that, I was so jealous of that idea, meaning I respect it so much. Like, fuck, dude. Like, I'm so happy made that.
Plug it real quick, because a lot of people don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's on all the streaming platforms and Bandcamp and all that stuff. But it's essentially, like, in a way, I totally get where Wade's coming from, where it's like, I like making songs, but, like, I have this weird thing where I, like, every time I try to write lyrics, they come out way more serious and way more dark or way more cliche than I feel comfortable with. And so, but I still like making songs. And so I'll just start, like, what are the lyrics I know by heart that, like, you know, are already in a kind of a, like, 4/4 pentameter or whatever. And those are Weird Al lyrics. And so I would write these kind of punk, you know, three chord punk songs. And then
it would be about hating your father and stuff like that.
It would just be like, I would be like, it's like inside my mind, I want to die. I'd be like, what the fuck am I? Just some emo goth kid. But it's like when you're trying to freestyle stuff and you're thinking it's going to be funny, like, and like weird truths come out of you and you're revealing yourself to yourself. It's, you know, so I was like, all right, well, what if I just like, you know, I have this song and I know the way I want to sing like to this riff. And I just start going like, it's like, you know, as I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain. Like, you know, if I just sing the lyrics I know, like, which is like, you know, CB4 lyrics or Weird Al lyrics or Mel Brooks songs. and so I just, you know, I just kind of did it as a joke. Because my friend Zach from the band Fiddlar, he had like a couple days like at a studio. He's like, hey, you know those dumb songs you always like put on like Instagram, like, let's just go and record those. And so I had my friend Cody from the Blood Brothers, like come and like, I was like, hey, I need you to actually play. Cause I have like shitty versions of the way I play the riffs, but I was like, I need someone that actually knows how to play the chords. And then I can put down the drums on top of that and then say, let's do a lead like this. And then the vocals. And so, yeah.
Fucking
and then,
rad,
and then,
dude.
And then Asian Man Records put it out. And so like, you know, technically I'm label mates with, Skank and Pickle and Alkaline Trio.
Congratulations. And what's the name of the album?
It's my friend Chantel named it for me. She's like, she's just like, as a joke, she's like, you should just call it You Can't Call Me Al. And so it's a good, yeah, Paul Simon reference and whatnot.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was a thing that was done purely for fun, dumb shits and giggles, and it made me the most excited I've been in a while.
Well, so going back to like why we make stuff, that's exactly why we do it, right? Like the things that I've been most successful with in my life have been things that I just made because I was like, oh, this will make me happy for 5 minutes and then I'll go back to being miserable. Yeah. And then those are the things that like people, it resonates with people. People can fucking, they get it. They smell like love, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good way to reference the smelling.
Yeah, and I mean, and I even got into like a bit of a like some, you know, some people online were like it's like, what the fuck is this? Who is this for? And like I got almost like angry when I saw that online because I was like, it's for fucking me, dude.
Yeah,
that's who it's for.
Yeah,
I'm the middle of my own Venn diagram.
Your answer should be, picture me trying to make you happy.
Yeah. well, okay, you know, let's do it.
Yeah, let's get into it. So we have something called the WOW scale. It stands for Wade or Willie, and it's from 0 to 5. If you're a 0, you're a Wade. If you're a 5, you're a Willie. Mm. It's 5 questions. Are you ready to take the WOW scale test?
I mean, I always feel like I'm a 2.5 on this thing, but let's do it.
WOW scale.
Okay, first question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, do you believe that they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
And do you just want yes or no, or do you want my reason why?
No, you can say your reason why.
No, there is no aliens, but there are. But I do believe there is a multidimensional factor to why people believe in aliens.
Sweet.
You might be the first. No, there's no aliens. We've been doing this for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lean towards the multi-dimension stuff.
I hate to say it. I love that answer so much because it's like the word alien is so defined in such a wrong way.
Well, how do people describe aliens? Why would some interdimensional being have 2 legs, 2 arms, 2 eyes and a head? That just seems a bit ridiculous that they would have the same body makeup as a human being.
Well, let me rephrase the question then. Let's change the definition of alien to your definition, which is multidimensional beings.
Yeah.
Have they visited Earth, and have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
They're already here. I think, you know, it's all on, it's, everything's on top of each other. So, yeah, they, I think,
are you also, are you also talking about like a time kind of thing where like we exist at the same time as like the Great Depression and stuff like that, or yeah, ancient Egypt?
You know, I'd say the, to be completely honest, like I don't like really dive into a lot of this stuff. And so a lot of the ways I talk about this might come off very ill-informed. But it's, I do think,
let me stop you right there. There is no informed because it's all made up bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. But the way I think everything is happening all at once, in many different ways, it's a cosmic energy idea that I have about, you know, it's like, I think,
okay, let's carry, carry that over into ghosts. Do you believe in ghosts?
Same answer. Like,
so like aliens could be ghosts, could be multidimensional travelers kind of thing.
Yes.
Where are you from?
Hawaii, which has a lot of superstitious stuff, for sure.
Were you raised religious at all in Hawaii?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. I saw right after my grandmother died, I saw a perfect cloud formation of an angel where there was no clouds. Like the day after she died in the sky, I looked up the sky, scattered clouds as it normally is in Hawaii. And then I ate some food and I looked back up and it was like the in utero angel, that much detail, but in cloud form. And, wow. and then it just kind of drifted away. But I also think the mind is very powerful. And I think that maybe as a kid I needed to see, you know, it was very coincidental that in utero had just come out. so that design of an angel was, you know, already lodged into my head. I think the mind was very powerful, but at the same time, when it comes to ghost stuff, I think it's very similar. I think it's like little shaky, blurred lines that kind of like tectonic plates of time and space that kind of rub up against each other sometimes and overlap.
Did you like in utero on first pass, or were you expecting something different?
You know what? The one that got me really into it, because I was just starting to like really get into the drums, and it was I think it was Very Ape. Like that was the song that I really liked. Like do do taku taku do 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 te do do taku te do, like, and I remember just being like, oh, wait, I can figure that out. Like, you know, yeah, yeah. Plus, I was like, I listened to a lot of like between Nevermind and In Utero. I listened to Bleach nonstop and the Incesticide.
Oh, word.
So I kind of felt I was ready for whatever was going to happen with In Utero.
That's, I feel I'm in line with that. Go on.
Yeah.
We've never talked about being drummers. Were you a Zeppelin guy back in the day, or was that too old?
No, it was too old. Like, I was Metallica. Like I wanted to, like, you know, I got a Tama. My first set was a Tama because of Lars Ulrich.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, like, because that was my first concert was Metallica during the Black
Album. Fucking cool.
Yeah.
So it's cool, but he's a shit drummer.
He is. Oh, totally. He is. Like, I think that there's a reason he was never kicked out, because I think he brings more to Metallica than just the drums.
Well, he does a lot of the lyrics.
He does a lot of lyrics. I think he, like, I think it's like, as far as like, you know, what I know of Metallica, it's like, I think that he's a very creative, huge creative force. Him and James.
He also, he also seems to be the most like sort of business driven, financial driven guy. Like, who knows what they would have been with a different drummer, you know?
Do you guys like Megadeth?
I mean, I like some Megadeth. Like, I just never like, I never got into that snarl vocal style that, like, it's like the lockjaw singing of,
cause like my favorite Metallica albums were a lot of Dave Mustaine. And so I love a lot of his early stuff.
Yeah. But they were just like any kind of thrash, you know?
Yeah. I agree with you though. I mean, it's like, it plays well at a haunted house.
Yeah.
The snarl, but go on.
But it's funny. We just did a thing on Jonah Radio where someone on metalinjection.net had like interviewed the drummer from Dark Angel, who basically 3 years before Metallica's Injustice for All came out with the song One, where it goes doodle-doodle-det, doodle-doodle-det, doodle-doodle-det.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, the drummer for Dark Angel did that beat on a song. And in that same song, they literally have lyrics that say, "Darkness imprisoning me."
Wow.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. But like the drummer's response, like what at the time where like his friend called him, he's like, have you heard they ripped off your drums, your drum beat for this, their new song. And he's like, oh man, that's cool. So we're influencing Metallica now. That's awesome.
Oh,
like,
that's
the best. That's the best response.
You know, what's weird about that is I was just watching Ben Affleck's movie where they're bank robbers, The Town.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And there's a guy in that who's a rapper. And
Machine Gun
I looked
Kelly.
Up some, no, it's, I don't even remember his name. He's just this like fat white rapper. And I looked up some of his songs and he has like a House of Pain homage where he's doing like some of the lines from Jump. And it's like, and it's nice. It's like an homage, but then you go to the comments and everyone's like, this guy's stealing shit. And it's like, well, I don't think you understand like how homages work, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I was on a podcast that Joe Dante, director Joe Dante, co-hosts. It's the Trailers from Hell podcast. And it's him and another writer guy. And right before Joe shows up, the guy turns to me and says, oh, by the way, Joe Dante hates Mystery Science Theater 3000. Thinks it's an insult to movies. Anyway, and then Joe Dante walks in.
Holy shit.
And Joe Dante, if you've ever seen this guy, I mean, like, his movies are incredible and his movies all mean a lot to me. He's, you know, Gremlins and Matinee especially, because it's almost like the kid-friendly version of Ed Wood in a weird way. But it's like, you know, he comes in and he's very like, he's got perfect kind of coiffed hair and he's wearing like a, you know, suit jacket. And then he kind of just starts going in on it. He's like, yeah, you know, it's insulting. It's not very good. It's like they did the dumb sketches and they never pick good. You guys, and he kept going, you guys, he's like, you guys never have good prints of the movies. You edit stuff out for the commercials and your dumb sketches. And I said, listen, I'm new here. But I can't, you know, like they got what they were able to as a local station, what they could afford. He's like, yeah, but you're like, you know, making jokes over it. You're being mean people. And it's like, and this is a guy, of course, that came up through Roger Corman. And so clearly he has an affinity for all this stuff. And I said, well, you know, and from my take on it is that we're not like destroying these movies. We're like playing along with these movies. It's almost like if you were to say like, you know, is hip hop making fun of the things they sample? No, they're like, they're taking it and they're making a collage or a pastiche of these things. And so we're taking pop culture jokes and references and things, and then we're putting it and we're playing along with the movie, which is a part of it. Now it's a sample that we're utilizing.
Cool. Yeah.
And then like his response is like, oh yeah, yeah. Pastiche. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, God. Oh, I almost hate this guy now. Okay, you were talking about your mind justifying things. Let's see if you can justify question three. Bigfoot. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
You know, I have a friend, my friend Craig Flippy, who I've known since I moved to Los Angeles. And while we were living in San Pedro, he said, he's like, hey man, I'm moving. I'm getting out of LA. I go, oh, where are you going? He's like, I got a moped and I'm going to go up to the Pacific Northwest. I was like, oh, cool. Like Seattle or Portland. He's like, no, kind of a little more inland. I'm going to go look for Bigfoot. And he is now a huge part. You guys should have him on the show. He's a real true weirdo filmmaker guy, but he has spent the last 15 years a part of the Bigfoot scene. And he's been in the woods and he's done all the stuff. And he is just starting to in the past few years, there's a live Harmontown from Bridgetown years ago where he brought up, where like I introduced Craig to Dan, I think like, you know, the night before, and he's like, I was like, oh, yes, my friend Craig, he looks for a Bigfoot. And, yeah, of course, Dan went all in. And then he's like, you got to come on. And Dan figured out that it was just based off of some childhood trauma. I'm going to take the lead on my friend who has spent, you know, over a decade actively searching. And he says no.
Snap.
What?
Yeah. He says no.
That's so after 15 years of looking, he just said no.
It's tough for him because he does still kind of get work in that field as like a videographer or, you know, like a lot of those guys, because he knows the Finding Bigfoot guys. It's a huge slap in the face of a community that embraced him.
Yeah. That's a weird thing, thinking about a camera guy on a Bigfoot show. It's like, they got to be a survivalist more than the stars.
Yeah. And he's gone out there by himself. You know, he's a true eccentric. He's such a great, beautiful weirdo. Like when I met Willie, I was like, this is like a true individual. I love this guy. And it's like, you guys remind me of each other, completely different types of people, but like true to them, to yourselves. Like you guys got to have him on the show.
Word. Yeah.
Okay. Question 4, psychics. Do you believe in psychics or psychic ability?
No, I think people are intuitive, but I don't think there's anyone that has any kind of, you know, what's the movie? Phenomenon.
Brain. Phenomenon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What? You immediately came up with Phenomenon?
Yeah.
the fucking hit John Travolta movie from 1999.
Didn't Michael come out the same year where he was an angel?
They were right. Yeah. That was his back to back. He double hit.
Yeah.
Fucking Michael and Phenomenon.
I love Phenomenon when the government comes in and like, whatever. I thought it was a good movie. Every time I see a wicker chair, I get pissed. I'm like, what, dude? Why don't you buy those chairs?
Last question. Are you superstitious?
No, I think superstition is based off of, you know, cultural ideas and childhood traumas.
So you kind of nailed it. You are a 2.5.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. Could any animals or anything on Earth right now actually be aliens? Panspermia. Could life have originated somewhere else and ended up here? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
All right, before we take a break, because I forgot we started a little late. Let's dive into this a little bit.
Every time you have to do the work, every time you guys have to like jump into the podcast work is like when you start to fumble over your lines.
The things that we have to do every week. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So this is the idea that there are certain things on our planet that have no connection to anything else genealogically, right? Is that the...
Basically, you know, here's my list. I have a short list, and then we'll get into each one. Octopus, mushrooms, tardigrades, cordyceps, and virus bacteria kind of mixed together.
We should let people think about that during the break and where I go refill my drink.
Okay. We'll be back with Jonah Ray talking about...
Comedian, funny man.
Listen. Better men than you have given me shit about the introduction.
Oh, Jesus.
Willie Bad Movies presents D&A Park.
You're never going to believe what I did, Cletus. Marlon, you made dinosaurs from the DNA? Wow, unbelievably shocking. Where did you get the DNA from, Marlon?
I found some in my tar pit. I'm still making more. Plus, I got that old alligator.
Sounds pretty dangerous, Marlon.
No way. Anything can be safe with the proper fence.
A film that started long before man.
Wow, is that a real dinosaur? It's so big. Does a tree fall in the woods?
But man's greatest discovery quickly turns into their worst nightmare.
Someone betrayed me. All of the gates are open.
I bet this gets my park closed down, damn it.
DNA Park.
Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're talking to our friend, Jonah Ray.
Yes.
He has no credits. He's just our buddy. Let me.
I really appreciate you guys just letting a regular Joe like me come on your fancy podcast.
You don't know how many regular friends that have no credits we've had on, and all I say is our friend. So I thought I would qualify it by saying that you actually are a legitimate comedian.
Well, I'd rather let the work speak for itself.
All right, check out You Can't Call Me Al on iTunes, music, whatever they're calling it.
Hidden America on VRV, completely free.
Oh, really? Wait, is that true?
Yeah, it's in front of the paywall. All you have to do is like sign, you have to make a profile, but all it really is just like put in your email and it gives you a password and then you're in.
On where? VRV?
VRV.co, which also, it's the same people that bought Harmon Quest. It's where Harmon Quest is. The cartoon.
No shit.
Yeah. But their first season, I think, is in front of the paywall. And then the most recent season is behind the paywall. But two seasons of Hidden
America. I'll check that out. That's cool. I've never watched it because I never had access to it.
Oh, I would have sent you links. I'm really proud of the show. I think it's good.
Oh, well, you can still send me links if you want.
Oh, they're all expired now. But Bourdain's in the second season.
Rest in peace, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Bourdain is one of those guys, not to get too dark, but like depression is an insanely crazy thing. And you think like, oh, if you make it to 50, you'll be fine. And then that's not the case.
I know, dude. I know. It's.
He was 62, right?
I mean, and wildly successful. And it's all this thing about like, not to go off on a weird tangent, but like, people don't understand depression. They think depression is just being unhappy, and it's not at all. It's like a mental illness that you don't control. And so like success and money don't equal happiness when it comes to most aspects of life.
I think. Yeah. And also on top of that, it's like, you know, he was like in a, you know, would seem like a pretty good relationship. You know, it was like, you know, freaky and weird with Asia Argento. But and then also like it wasn't like a substance thing either, because he was in extremely good shape because he did Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a thing where it's like, well, if he had just kind of taken better care of himself, you know, the working out can help you with the, and that's true, all that stuff can help, but like there is like a true, you know, aspect to depression.
Yeah, it's I'm pouring another tequila because I don't, there's no answer to it and it sucks.
Is that where you're at? Tequila?
Oh, baby. There's nothing better than a tequila and key lime LaCroix.
Oh, you know what I used to do is a tequila and cactus cooler soda. Ugh. And I used to call the drink the cactus killer.
I used to do Tecate and Mountain Dew when I was trying to like chill out a little bit, and I would call it Mountain Brew.
Oh yeah, I like that. Also, being similarly from Colorado, yeah,
I would do gin and Mountain Dew and call it Gin and Dew.
That one's less clever.
Gin and juice. It's a little clever.
Mm.
You don't think? Good drink. Good neon drink with gin, which is kind of disgusting. All right, Willie, what are we talking about here?
Drinks.
Well, I mean, which one out of that list, what should we talk about first?
Mushrooms. Because that's something that, or potato bugs. But
fucking mushrooms. Mushrooms are fucking crazy. Let me tell you why. The crazy thing about mushrooms. Do you guys know what panspermia is?
Looked it up.
It's the idea that we used to think that we were the center of the universe. Then we figured out the sun is the center of the solar system, but for a while was the center of the universe. Then the sun.
Thank you, Copernicus.
Going around something too. And in all of that, we still...
Followed up by Aristotle. Yeah. Maybe the other way around.
Galileo.
We still believe that that we are where life originated. And so learning each step of the way, like bigger, and that we get smaller and smaller and smaller, we still believe that life is only here as a society. This is like, you know, across the board, most people think that life originated here and this is the only life in the universe. Sure, that's all debatable, but as a species, we pretty much think life is only here. And this panspermia idea is basically like, you know, when we find rocks, when we find meteorites, we can tell where they're from. Oh, this is from the moon because of the makeup of it. This is from Mars. And so we have rocks from almost every planet in our solar system on Earth. So the idea is wherever life started, let's say it started with the Big Bang somewhere near the middle, that there are things traveling on these rocks through space that end up on planets. And these things end up creating life. That's basically what the episode is. And so when it comes to mushrooms, mushrooms are fucking crazy. They can eat a forest. When you see a mushroom, that's like the fruit. These things are all over in the ground, you know?
Like they're connected. It's like, that's a huge thing. Like the thing you see is just the little sprouts of it. But there's a whole network underground and then going into the roots of trees and into yeah. trees as well, right?
They eat forests. They eat trees. They can eat a
forest. They're a fungus, and that's what essentially a fungus is, yeah. right?
Yeah, which is nuts to think, just to think about that. That like, does that make it the top of the food chain in a lame way? Because
wait, when you talk about like seeding the planet and coming from space, like how would something like that survive like the atmosphere and everything like when it comes in?
So fucking mushroom spores, they're basically made of chitin, if I'm saying that right. It's like, you know, the hard shell stuff, right? A spore of a mushroom, which is the reproductive, you know, it's the eggs, it's the fucking babies all over. The spore's shell is made out of metal and it is purplish and it reflects UV light. This thing can survive in space, and they found mushroom spores at all levels of our atmosphere.
Hmm.
So without them taking one into space, I would say that it is pretty much, can you say pretty much a fact? It's pretty much a fact that spores can survive in space.
And another aspect of it is that there's nothing else like it on Earth, correct?
Yeah. If you break down the animal kingdom, the plant, whatever, they don't trace back as well as everything else. Like, you know,
they show up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, are there other plants? I mean, there's gotta be, but like plants that can feed you, that can kill you, and that can also, get you closer to, the universal energy.
Not to mention cure you, right? I mean, what was the, oh God, what was
penicillin?
The, yeah,
that's mold. Is that,
right.
is that
a, well, is mold, that a mold is a, mold is a fungi.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, here's the thing, man.
That's why I looked it up, because I was wondering, because we can grow mold.
If you're into, I feel like I say this too much, but I probably don't. But like Terrence McKenna and his study of mushrooms and his ideas, everything he said, he's not trying to bring up facts. He's trying to make you think. And basically, he would always say the mushrooms would speak to him, you know? And so he came up with a couple ideas, one of them being that humanity is intelligent and or religious because of mushrooms. They used to hunt animals, right? And the way you hunt animals is you follow their poop. Well, these fucking mushrooms are growing in their poop, and they started eating them, and it started expanding their minds, you know? Mm-hmm. And it made the early – he suggests that that's why – cows in old religions are very sacred, because their fucking mushrooms from their shit have like made them think about the universe.
Well, there is a, you know, there is a level of clarity. I always say this, like every time I've done mushrooms, is that you kind of see the world in HD. Everything becomes a bit more vibrant and obvious in a way. And, you know, they also say any kind of, I think this goes along with any kind of substance, maybe except for cocaine. But like cocaine, the only thing that's good for cocaine is like talking about Tom Petty in a bathroom with some dude. But like, it's like the idea of.
Rest in peace, Tom Petty.
Yeah. But I think about there's a whole story about beer and how beer kind of helped the American Revolution happen. Because it's like these guys would get together and then they drink and then they feel you know, less inhibited. And then they would just start talking about, it's like, you know, we should be running this place, not the British. And it's like, and all of that, like all that fuel came from them boozing it up. That's and funny. So there is a idea of the expansion through substances.
Liquid courage is this the birthplace of America.
Yeah, exactly. Don't tread on my beer. but with shrooms, I think it's the same thing. I think there's a it's, you know, the Native Americans First Nations people, you know, they with peyote and with shrooms, I think it's, you know, I think it should be a thing. That's, I think depression, the MAPS community, I think is doing a lot of great work.
Yeah.
With trying to use mushrooms as a natural way to fight depression.
And see, that's the thing. And that's the reason why you find out a couple of these cities mushrooms are legal, is because it's working. It's not because they're like, hey, go ahead and get fucked up. Go have a trip. It's like, No. These things are helping people clinically.
Have you tried microdosing before?
A few times. I'd like to do it more consistently.
Yeah, I think that's the way to kind of do it, is consistently. But it's also, it's like I know with booze, I know how much I can drink. Yeah. But it's like, you know, you have to really know how you're going to be.
I could feel the mushrooms the last time I microdosed, and I was like, I don't want to feel this because.
Like you took too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting scrambly. But
that's a scary part, because it's like when it's done right, you don't even feel anything.
Yeah.
But you
a couple times I haven't, but one time I did, and I was like, this is good, but like, I got to have some time to like play with my mind. Like if I had to like go to work or something, I'd be fucked.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a slippery slope with that stuff. But the thing is, and I hate to say this, but, if it becomes legal, then there's going to be a regulation to it. And I think, when there's like regulation to something, they can kind of easily map out how it's going to help. But with all that said,
Yeah.
I think there is something to like this thing, mushrooms showing up, and also like, you know, I don't really eat any meat or dairy products anymore. I manipulate mushrooms like crazy, and I fucking love mushrooms. I made pulled pork the other day with king oyster mushrooms.
Wow.
And it's like a thing that can feed you and also help you mentally. And it's almost like a gift from the gods in a way.
So does that mean it's from outer space?
To me, the question is, is it possible? Because I'm not trying to say anything is real, but I'm 100% convinced that it is possible. And listen, I'm going to take this. Did you drop out? Okay. I'm going to take this a little step further, which is when you picture, do you ever try to think about like really million year old intelligent societies? Like what?
I just read a book. I mean, not million year old, but like, you know, maybe 10,000 years. I just read a book on the Toltec wisdom, the four agreements and all that.
Yeah, because one idea that I think is that when you are intelligent for a long time as a society, I almost feel like you would, and it's weird to project things, and I'm wrong, but I'll stop doing that too. But like, I feel like the way it would be my responsibility to search out for intelligent young species. Just to give them a hand in case they're too violent, like ours, you know. It's like, hey, you guys need to push past this. Like, honestly, money is something that is keeping us from going together. I'm not saying we're enemies, but it's just like I can get something from you. So it separates us in such a weird way that, you know, you could give a tip to a society to a species and be like, just hey,
a leg up on like, you know, the next level of evolution.
Because there's so many species in my mind that are like us that killed themselves. They died off, you know, because at some point, if we have a war, all of our technological advances will die with that war. Mm-hmm. And so, I think about mushrooms being that beacon that is like, it's a probe. If you eat it, that intelligent species can like locate you through the universe because you've connected to the.
You've opened it up a bit.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, it's good food and it's good for you. It's great. You know, it's like, it's also, I think there's also like, I had this joke the other day with Deanna, where it's like, we're just talking about how much we love, you know, cooking mushrooms and stuff like that. And even outside of just taking like, you know, psychedelic mushrooms, but just eating mushrooms where it's like the idea of any kind of like a being, some supreme being or God type thing, like coming down to earth and being like, it's like, what the fuck are you, why are you eating other things on the planet? We gave you the mushrooms. Yeah. Why are these, what, you're eating other earthlings? You're like, no, like those are just like animals. They're like, you're an animal. You're just another animal here. Just because you talk, you think you could eat them? You fucking idiot.
That's so funny. Yeah, I like
that. Mushrooms are slimy, dude.
Not if you, so can anything.
Nah, man, slimy. Mushrooms are slimy. Not going to do it.
Here's the thing, man.
you put a mushroom on my pizza, it's the only thing that can ruin pizza.
The corporation version of America is why you have that answer. Like, and I'm the same.
No, I've tried mushrooms. I'm not taking my tips from fucking Pepsi. I've tried mushrooms.
But like what we eat and the textures that we like are started at a time when we were all eating corporation food.
That's total bullshit. It's entirely subjective.
It's not. It's all cultural. It's just the idea.
Fuck of like, you. Yeah. It is not cultural.
It's all cultural. Go to a place. You like meat, right? Oh, you love meat. Mushrooms are too weird. Go to
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if I don't like the texture of a food that has nothing to, a million other people in America like the texture of that food. It has nothing to do with the culture. It's a subjective thing.
No, it's not. It's not like not parsley. What's the other thing I'm thinking about that people hate that tastes like?
You're talking about cilantro, which is cilantro. A gene.
Yes,
but if your mommy fed you a raw heart your whole life of an animal that she killed, you could eat slimy mushrooms.
No, fuck you guys. You're wrong about this. Some people don't like the texture of bananas. That doesn't mean that bananas are the best thing in the world. Because
what happened to them? Bananas are great. Bananas are the best fruit. But what happened to you?
Oh my God.
What weird guy came in your mouth, to make you hate mushrooms so much?
Which cool guy didn't come in your mouth that made you hate mushrooms?
The other day I went to the Hawaii market. I saw this place called Hawaii Market. It's like in San Gabriel Valley, which is, it's, even though it says Hawaii Market, there was, hardly any, Hawaiian stuff there. It was just a big, huge, legit Asian market, like supermarket.
Yeah.
And I went to go see, I thought they might have some like really good fresh fish. But what they had in their fish area was snapping turtles, armadillos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Snakes. Yeah. And I was just, and then like, I was like that, like, and I, it was the weird, it was that weird cultural other thing where I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, how dare they?
Yeah.
And it's all packaged. It's like an armadillo. They shrink wrap the fucking shell. It's all inside there. And it's all, and like, it's like, and there's, you know, people looking at it, trying to find the right one.
But wait, your question stands. How dare they? What is that?
Like, No. That was my initial response. But that's.
And I agree with you. Like, what about an armadillo is a fish in Hawaii?
Wait, what?
Is a fish in Hawaii?
No, I just went to the fish section and it was just their meat section. I meant, I was looking to see if they had some, like, you know,
but basically, but also the other side question, Wade, is that like, let's say you're an Asian that moved to America and you want to get some of the things that you want to eat instead of just meat and potatoes, like.
So, like, wait, put
you'll
it
try
way.
Snapping you know turtle the, because
yeah,
because say you've
you,
eaten.
Like you because you live in America, you can't go to the wet market that created the COVID-19 virus. So you can't, you know, you can't get your food from there.
It's not fact yet.
But it's but the thing
but I want to eat some bats.
But I you know, I looked at like I looked at some other stuff and I was like, oh, that seems like it'd be good. And I tasted it and it there's, you know, it's because culturally I didn't grow up with this certain kind of flavor of some of the
yeah,
fruit.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, it's
we had to go to we'd go to Denver listen. and we'd go to Asian markets there because my mom, you know, she likes all that shit.
Yeah.
But like we'd always get this jar of it's ground up shrimp. So it's like a it's a dip, bugaung.
Yeah.
And that fucking smell, dude, I can't get it out of my head. I always open it up on accident because it looks like strawberry.
See, you're disproving your own point where flavors are bestowed to you, textures are bestowed to you because of your culture.
Oh, no,
you're
I'm
a Filipino who
and-
hates fish,
but she didn't okay.
But here's the thing, the all-time best Filipino food is chicken adobo.
Yeah, I have my mom's recipes. I can make it. It's really good.
Yeah, if you like vinegar, you'll love adobo. Yeah,
if you like
most
salt,
of this conversation yeah. started because I was given mushrooms the business. I understand that there's a way to cook mushrooms where they're not slimy. I'm yeah. okay with mushrooms, but I'm kind of hedging on this whole thing where, like, if you don't like mushrooms, you were raised wrong.
Oh, no, I didn't say we know it's not wrong.
No, you said that. You said those exact words.
I said you were stupid.
You compared mushrooms to cum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. That's true, I did. Remember, guys, remember minutes ago.
But that's what they call a callback in the comedy community.
But it's not really a callback. You just referenced the joke that was
it's started. A callback. I'm a great comedian.
Comedian Wade Randolph.
Comedian. Right,
funny man.
Now that I'm hearing it, you're right.
Well, it's like it's always one of those things where someone says like comedian general. I was like, I guess technically, sure, you know.
Well, you guys, come on. You had a show on a channel called Comedy Central where you were doing stand-up comedy.
Hey, in the world of classifications, man, I can't classify you.
That's you know.
Hey, kind of like how we can't classify mushrooms, right? Or what about octopuses? Octopi?
Yeah.
Octopussies.
I know, right? Well, dude,
James.
So wait, did we figure out mushrooms? They're great, and they're from a higher higher plane.
The spores will probably exist in space. So, if we get blasted by an asteroid and chunks of Earth go everywhere, mushrooms will survive the trip to other planets within our solar system.
That just means of the many cancers that this planet has, the mushroom is the one that will survive.
You know, like cancer's been here the whole time. They just used to say you died of like consumption or something like that.
Yeah, they didn't check. They were like, well, we think we know. You know,
he's become ill. His ears and nose started bleeding and then he fell. That's how
it was more. Yeah. I was more comparing humans to cancer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm in on that.
Yeah,
I dig the crazy things you're saying about the world, man.
Hey, wait for hour three.
Yeah. I'll just listen. I love other things more, but I want to get in. I'll do octopus real quick. Because
no, do the ones you love.
Well, but octopus is a great it's a great thing too, and it's better for the audience than these other small things. So
okay.
There was a study,
but also just do the ones you love is good life advice.
Oh yeah, you're right.
That's true. Also, like with your audience, I'd imagine they've probably jerked off to a lot of octopus porn, hentai porn. So I don't mean to speculate.
You think we have a bunch of anime? What is the manga is comics, anime is animation. What is the porn in Japan called?
Hentai. Right?
Oh, what is the Indian temporary tattoo?
Henna.
Henna.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I'm in no place to judge. My wife made a parody of Japanese anime porn.
Miku Miku.
Yeah.
That's a Channel 101. Go check it out.
get them canceled.
I don't think we have the fan base to cancel anybody.
I'm scared. Well, yeah.
Right. Octopus
and,
is.
So in 2018, there was a study that came out. Listen, they're smart as fuck. They have cells that can change their shape and color. Mm. Like they are. And they're very intelligent. You know, if you want to.
They can pick who's going to win the World Cup.
Yeah. And various soccer games, football games for all of our West Coast listeners in Europe.
Yeah, the famous European West Coast of America.
Tubular.
Did you know that they've got like basically their arms exist separately from their brain? Like you could cut their brain off and the arms would act exactly the same way. It's this weird thing where they are like, it's almost closer to a hive mind thing because they've got their own. The legs work on their own independent of the main brain. It's a crazy, I'm sorry, I got high.
Well, it's one of those things where, and you see it sometimes if you go to like crazy sushi or if you watch some of those like crazy, like, you know, food shows where they'll chop off even just a tentacle and it'll for a while still like reach for things or grab onto things to not be pulled away.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
It's horrifying.
It's still like protecting itself consciously in a way, right?
And so it's weird when you look at that animal and you parallel it with the society, because if the individual arm brain cells are independent of the main brain, like that feels like a microcosm of a species, because independent brains that are like feeding the whole still, and they don't know that the brain was cut off. They're still doing their thing. I don't know. Fucking crazy. Anyways,
that octopus arm was running around like a chicken with its head cut off.
But it's they're incredibly smart. Aren't there more intelligent sea creatures than land creatures?
Yeah, yeah. And so, listen, as far when you look at the evolution of what ended up being an octopus, where they trace it back to, the nautilid, whatever. There is such
the kraken. You meant to say the kraken.
Yeah, right. There's this weird mollusk looking, has a shell, but like has tentacles. But the leap from that animal to the current octopus could almost make you tear apart the regular Darwinian evolution, because it doesn't make sense. They gained a million highly advanced
biological
thank you skills and or things that like they go from being cavemen to astronauts.
So do you think like they've been eating sea mushrooms?
Right. Yeah. So if you look at the evolution of them, it kind of makes you go, fuck, man, this doesn't seem right. Like it's not like they just showed up.
Evolved. But this is bumming me out, dude. Like,
because you eat them?
How smart they are?
I don't actually like to eat them, but yeah, how smart they are is bumming me out. It's like, you know, you've seen, I don't know, if you go online, you can see, or at least these are stories, I don't know, where there's like an octopus who he kept unscrewing a light bulb. He was kept in an aquarium in a room and he didn't like the light bulb. So he kept like unscrewing the light bulb and then like getting back into his aquarium.
Wow.
And they're like, how the fuck is he doing this? And they kept trying to stop him from doing it. And he kept doing it like over and over again. And it's just like, This is fucking bumming me out, man. Like, let this octopus go. Like, what are you doing? Just...
Yeah.
Like, obviously, he's smart enough to not want to be here, and you're keeping him here. Who gives a fuck about the light bulb?
Yeah, no. And they're building things to stop him from turning off the light bulb. Yeah. Like,
you got to be pretty advanced to just be, you know, like, it's like it took humans just thousands and thousands of years to go, I don't really like fluorescent lights. And then, like, this octopus gets put in a tank, and he's like, nope, gone. No, I don't want it.
But the study from a few years ago basically says that the fertilized octopus eggs could exist in ice. And, you know, they have some – this is a crazy article because there are reputable people in this just posing the idea that, hey, man, octopus might be aliens because they don't fit into the evolution. They could survive the way that, you know – Through ice, their eggs would survive from one planet to the next. They could have, whatever. That's just an idea. Some smart.
I mean, I guess you could say like all of this is just like, regardless of if life started on Earth or not, it's sort of like the whole point is that like life could continue without Earth, right? Like,
yeah. Well, my biggest issue is that the reason why we say that there's no life elsewhere in the universe. First off, our definition's wrong. But second, we've checked the moon. Do we have rock samples back from Mars? I'm sure that we probably do, but
I think so.
But you know, life on the moon.
Well, the idea that
we've
had so many years of people needing religion and needing this idea that we're the only place, the only people on Earth. It's clearly that's not the case. There's going to be stuff around. Well, the place is infinite, but it's religion that's kept us.
That's the crazy thing is that like take everything that we've learned in our lives. We're all about the same age. The whole idea that life doesn't exist anywhere else, I know that science is saying, well, we haven't seen it, and you can hypothesize about it all day, but we haven't seen it. We can't find it. But that's not a fact that it doesn't exist, but it in our minds it is that way because we're not scientists. As a scientist, that should come to – it is 100% possible, but we haven't seen it yet. But to everyone else that isn't a scientist that took science in school, to them it just means there's 100% true that life doesn't exist outside of the Earth. You know, I'm just saying.
But it's a weird kind of catch-22 because if we got religion from taking hallucinogens, right, and we were just – and our dumb monkey brains were trying to figure out like what we were seeing by hallucinating, and then we created God and religion – then it's the mushrooms to blame, right? So fuck mushrooms. That's
really funny, dude.
I do think that I think that people who said they felt something more from doing mushrooms were manipulated by people that were trying to control their tribe. And it's like there's just like, hey, you said you saw people. People believe you. Why don't you tell them that they can't fuck their neighbor's wife? Because I have to be the guy that has to break all these fights up. And so I'd really appreciate it if you just – I don't know. Real quick, don't fuck your neighbor's wife. Real, I know. It's dumb when I say it out loud.
It couldn't be easier to not fuck your neighbor's wife.
Listen, like it's people are dumb. They're not eating the oysters correctly. They're just like, they're waiting. They're letting them sit out in the sun. So just no shellfish. I don't want to even have to deal with it. Not even shrimp. No shellfish. I don't want to fucking think about it because it's like that guy, he can't stop himself, but he still needs to farm. And if he doesn't farm, we don't get the grain. We don't got the bread. Then we don't got the beer. And so you got to fucking tell him there's like, it's illegal. It's a God said, no shellfish.
Yeah, dude,
it's all just manipulation.
It's 100% manipulation, and that's the thing. Like with why I was trying to look this up earlier. I'm sorry to digress back to mushrooms, but like, why is something?
Wow, you really have a crush on mushrooms. Can't stop talking about them. Wow.
I'm trying to make a thesis here, and like, if something is grown in the earth, how can it be illegal? How can that be illegal? Know, and right? The only answer is because there could be two. One. We want to make pharmaceuticals that we can charge you for that would do the same thing. Two, then you would start questioning like our entire society that was built, you know, around you not questioning this thing. So, so my whole point is, I don't have one. Just I think. Society sucks and octopuses are aliens and mushrooms are the gateway. But like, well, no, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, like, it's like the country's dumb. Our country's dumb. Like, it's like, it was just 100 years ago. We were living in a modern society when a bunch of people said no more booze and the entire country went along with it. I mean, a lot of people were upset, but a lot of people were like, well, country knows best.
Yeah, that's the best parallel. But the thing is, so we need to start, you need to reevaluate everything that you've learned and say, hey, you know, you almost need to relearn everything. And so what if solar systems acted, this is something I read, I'm quoting something, I forget what, but if solar systems acted like fishing nets for like life that was going through the universe, you know, and it's like the evolution of a solar system was meant to catch life and for that life to evolve to a point where the life then took care of the star.
So
if the star was the evolution of our solar system, you know, and it
right.
Yeah.
But on. That doesn't have anything to do with me. No. So I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, why would I care about that when for that evolution to, it's going to be billions of years or whatever. So I don't give a fuck. My question is like, let's say we all agree to that. Like that we are a solar system that trapped some life and then like evolution happened, even though we're sort of like talking back and forth because octopus are not, they don't behold to the Darwin rules. Right. But like, regardless of all of that, if I am to believe that life came from anywhere else and was implanted on Earth, why? Like, what do I do with that information? You know, like how do I take that and go, now I'm going to be a better person?
So I mean, and I this is me talk. You want to talk this? You don't want the societal answer, right? You want the individual answer.
I think they're one and the same, aren't they? Like,
well, like to me, for a society, then if you understand that, listen, life was seeded here on purpose or not, doesn't matter. Let's say that there is just life floating all over the place and some of it hit Mars and then asteroids hit Mars and some came here, but also some just came here before Mars and life is just all these weird things. And let's say you knew. Well, I mean, to me, I would take that as, okay, there is a possibility then that life is evolving on every planet, whether we can witness it or not. And we just might be looking wrong or whatever. But really, I would say then, if life isn't limited to Earth and God didn't create life, then there is a far more superior... I mean, you know, what is it? Why make life better? It's to live longer, right? Because what's important in your life is to take everything you can to live as long as you can. And especially if you're having a good time. So
like, I don't know, I guess. I don't know if I want to live as long as I can.
Well, there's we're all organisms, everything where it's like humans are an organism. We just happen to have the ability to self-reflect, which is a fucking curse if you ask most people. But like, it's like, you know, it's like everything on this fucking rock has to work together. And because of like our ability to self-reflect, it it affects us negatively in a lot of ways. And now we've caused pollution and war and, you know, inequality and stuff like that. But really, it's like, if you look at pretty much every progressive chain of thought through every self-help book, every religion, the one thing they say that will make you feel good is to be of service. And that really essentially means you are falling in line with the idea that you are an organism that is a part of something bigger than yourself. So it's like if you're going to, it's like, what does that mean if there's other thing? Nothing. Because it just means, it's like, none of that means anything. You just have to be of service and you have to help like the organisms that you are connected to, whether you like it or not.
That's rad. I love that.
Yeah, I think like, but that, yeah. But that should be, you know, the golden rule. Like, isn't that kind of the golden rule? Isn't that the first thing that we're all taught anyway? Like, just like, don't do something if you know that it's shitty. Like, don't do something that would hurt someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's nobody. That's, yeah. Nobody outside of a fucking kindergartner like continues to do that, or we wouldn't have these giant conglomerates who are just like,
I know. It's like you basically
raking in all of the fucking shit.
Yeah, but then the you know, the trick they've pulled is to be like, it's like, this is okay. And don't you want this? Don't you want this is essentially the worst thing that we all prey to is it's like, you know, think about all the friends we have that are like legit millionaires. Like I'm not trying to like brag or say that like we live like crazy lives, because the three of us don't. We live really small and simply, but the three of us know millionaires.
Right.
Like, and it's weird to think that. And it's like and how often you kind of go like, it'd be real nice to be that millionaire. It's like to want something, and it's to want materialistic stuff.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why I want that, and it's not because of the materialism. It's because I am wrapped in fucking anxiety 24 hours a day trying to figure out where my next fucking rent check is coming from, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the only reason I want to be a millionaire is to be able to sit back and have a moment where I don't have to like drink because I'm not just concerned about my future, you know?
Man, I'm just like, if I had enough money to do that, it'd be crazy to, I would like to do creative, passionate projects with my friends. And that be my life. And so that's like what that's why I want to be mm-hmm. rich, is to
help others,
is to create together. And I don't know.
Does it count? Does it count if you're just helping your friends? That counts, I mean, right?
That's I don't know for sure. I mean, cause like, yeah, that's the dream I've always had. And that's, you know, that's what I always love. The idea of like this stuff is just like, in the being a part of a community of just like, it's like, hey, I got a thing. I'm going to try and help you up. I'm going to try and help my friends. And that is, and then you start, you know, that can lend itself to nepotism and you know, maybe an all white writing staff sometimes, because it's just like, you're just trying to help out your friends. And all of a sudden it's like, there's this,
yeah,
you know,
it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah. Whatever. But it's because like a lot of the stuff is like, you're just trying to help out your friends. It's because you've been helped out. And that's the dream, I think, for a lot of us, for me especially, is like, I've always wanted to get to a spot where it's like, I can provide for other people and help them, because I know how hard it is to be creative and to like, you know, feel you can make stuff, and to be in a situation where you can go like, it's like, hey, no big deal. Like, it's like, I own some cameras and I can pay a couple guys to run them for you. What are you going to go shoot something? You know, that's the dream, I think, that we all have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you take it back to like the only reason we know each other, Willie and I by proximity, but we all have the same ideals, which is just like, we're creative people. We came to LA. There's no way, Jonah, that I would know you if we weren't the same type of person, which is the type of person who like found a creative community who just wanted to like make stuff, right?
Yeah.
We have that. It's like a, it's being an artist is like a, fuck, the words are escaping me. What's white privilege? Like being an artist is almost being privileged in a way where you can find other people and like you can do stuff. When you don't have like an aspiration that can build a community, like if you work at a gas station or something, you don't know what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you can get lost, right? Like how do you, your friends are the people that you went to high school with that were also burnouts or whatever. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah. But that's when I think that's when people turn towards sports and church and they find community in other ways.
Dude, 100%. Yeah.
I forgot that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like everyone's, and the thing is, it's like, you know, we're just as guilty of it. Like, it's like we're into tribalism because, because we're all part of a community that just, it's like, we go, it's like, no, we just make stuff. We don't fucking ask permission. We just fucking make stuff and we fucking do it. And it's like, oh, what are you doing? You're just fucking going to classes. Like, you know, it's like, we still have the same, like,
yeah, kind of, I mean, I would love to be best friends with like a lawyer or an accountant because that would really like make my life easier.
I used to try and figure out this joke years ago when I was a comedian, Jonah Ray. But it was just like about like
and friend.
But it was, it's like the idea of just like, it's like, you know, I like when I was 19, I moved out here. So all my friends are just kind of like showbiz people. And it's not like when you're growing up in any other town where oh man, my car's really acting up. It's like, I have a friend that's a mechanic. Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh shit. No, sorry. He played a mechanic in an episode of Law and Order.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Like, it's a very insular life. This being in Hollywood, I guess. Like, you just don't meet a lot of normal, regular people. But my whole point is
mushrooms.
When it comes to community and moving forward and like thinking as a society and going like, oh, it's all of us. We are like the fungus that. Has fucking roots through the forest that works together and is a microcosm. It's harder for some people to do that because they feel alone because they're out there like, and they don't have that. And you're right. So like church, but like church is bad for the most part because it's become so organized that they're telling you the wrong thing and then you believe it. Mm-hmm. The tribalism thing is crazy too, because it's like politics has become tribal, not to get political, but like it shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah.
People right? should be voting for their own best interest, but instead they're voting like along these tribal lines. Why are
there teams in yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I never really got into sports and a lot of it, I think it's like, you know, we had like a popular college team in Hawaii, but there was no professional sports in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So it's like, there was no grand scale to be into it. And my dad loved the 49ers for no reason. He had been to San Francisco once, but for some reason he loved the 49ers and he fucking like, that was his team. And it's just like, I remember like that made me question it when I was growing up where I was just like, I mean, is it the color scheme?
That's so funny because like me growing up and listening to sports and learning about the sports teams, like going to the games, I was like, man, this is gonna be my team for my life because I live in Colorado.
Yeah,
like the fucking Nuggets are my team for life, and I'm gonna be here forever.
and you had three.
Yeah,
you guys had three professional. You had Nuggets, Broncos and the Rockies. Like that's crazy. You don't have a hockey team, do you?
We didn't really grow up with
the Avalanche, with the
Rockies.
But
the Rockies was 99,
90, 93, no, no.
92, 91, 92.
Yeah. still, 93.
It must have been like exciting that. when the Avalanche came
in 95. So like we had hockey after baseball.
Oh Jesus!
And they were a better team. Whatever.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is like it's interesting that your dad was in the 49ers because this is like a pre-internet decision that he made. He was just like, I'm going to be a 49ers fan. I don't give a fuck. There was no relating to anyone around him about being a 49ers fan. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just interesting. Like this day and age, I can be like, I'm going to be a Liverpool fan because it's fun and I want to root for somebody. And I'll go on to the Liverpool Reddit and be like, hey, what's going on, guys? Like,
No way, bruv. Man U. Have you ever been there? No, but I love Oasis.
So it's just like, I don't know. It's like an interesting, he just decided he was going to pick a side and it didn't have anything to do with community or bonding.
Yeah.
It was just like, I'm going to do this. Fuck it. And
but I don't know for sure. Cause it could have been that he had a friend.
Or he was just bored and he was like, I need a horse in the fucking race. I'll pick these guys. Let's see what happens.
You know? Or he could have loved Joe Montana and be like, man, he reminds me of Rick Randy from high school, who was the coolest dude on the block with the best hair.
Yeah. I mean, 49ers, I think was the only, that was a team. I think Tony Tata, which is a guy that was really mean to me in high school. Not that that's the reason why my dad got into the 49ers, but that's the only, I think major sports connection he would have had to the 49ers.
That's a better story though. Like, guy hated my son. I fucking love him.
Tony Tata, the guy that like threatened to slap you in front of the teacher, knowing the teacher wouldn't do anything because he was the star football player.
Let's wrap it up. I don't have anything grandiose to say. I've been grasping at straws the whole time. Willie, do you have any sort of like big sort of, you know, thoughts?
Real quick, and we'll probably get into this again another time, but like when it comes to the evolution of octopi, listen, tardigrades, virus, bacteria, these things that can survive in space. There are different things on Earth that can survive in space. That means they can go to another planet when something gets blasted off of our. So to me, the whole idea of everything is life is everywhere. I know that we need to prove it's there, but before we prove it's there, I just think that we need to consider that it's there so that it's not this big shock when we find out and we don't need to go back and change everything because we were wrong about, that land that you bought. Well, you don't own the space above your head, so we're going to park these floating drones above your house because, you know, that law wasn't created at the time when these, you know, I know that it's a bigger picture thing than that, but that's the small, I love the idea, love thy neighbor. I grew up with that, but we have such a definition of what life is that we have all these other neighbors that we're not in love with. And I'm talking parallel dimension. I'm talking plants. I'm talking this mushroom is alive. This rock is alive. Love thy neighbor. Your neighbor happens to be everything around you, and there's life everywhere in the universe. We just haven't defined it yet. And too bad for us when we do define it, because we're going to make it smaller than it is. And so, you know, go meditate.
Oh my God.
The 10, yeah. The 5. You know what? They're going to go for a field goal.
Thank you. That's so funny. I know. Well, here's the thing. Me going for a touchdown is probably 20 minutes more.
You know what? I'm just going to start saying words. I'll find my way there.
No one has summed up our podcast more succinctly.
Listen, I love that. I love seeing it from that angle.
I wouldn't have been able to say anything more profound. You know, it's like when you said, like, it's like, though I did bulk when you said, like, it's like, love thy neighbor. I was like, I was like, yeah, your fucking neighbor lives right next to you. No shit. Why don't you fucking love your neighbor's neighbor?
Well,
love the other.
Yeah, but also, how can I love my neighbor if he doesn't say hi to me? Like, fuck that dude.
I know.
That's on him. That's not on you.
Well, then fuck him. I don't love my neighbor. Learn English. Don't cancel me. That was a joke.
check out the Edgelord. Oh, check out the Edgelord.
Jonah, do you have any? See if any, that's not my role. That is not my character. I thought it was a funny reveal that my neighbor doesn't speak English, and that's why he doesn't say hi. Jonah, do you have any final thoughts on this? I don't even know that life didn't start on Earth.
You know what? Believe what you want, because it doesn't affect anybody. Once you start trying to tell people what they should believe, that's when it gets a bit tricky.
Fuck.
So, you know, like, just be good to everybody and don't fucking be a dick.
Once again, you have surmised our podcast in a very negative way.
I know, dude. Like, that's so great.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
No, I know you didn't. It's fine.
I'm like having epiphanies. This is great.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go to the Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get 2 bonus episodes a week. We're going to continue the conversation. I think, do you want to stick around, Jonah?
Yeah, I might grab one more drink and then.
Of course. So we'll be back on the. I'm gonna grab like 3 or 4 more drinks.
Your bottle is on your desk. What do you gotta fucking leave?
I need the mixers. I gotta get the mixers.
Wait. Did you want to plug anything? Plug everything, man.
Do you want to plug something?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I talked about Hit America, and it's a show I'm really proud of. A lot of people are on it that are great. Tons of people from like Mr. Show and Upper Sis Brigade. I got a lot of people that guest on it. Yvette Nicole Brown, like
she's great.
Got a ton of people on it that I love. I got that Weird Al record, and then Mystery Science Theater. If you were hesitant about the new seasons, which I would totally have been as well. Had I not been a part of it, I'd say if you were just going to maybe not want to watch any of it, watch the Mac and Me episode we did. I think that's a nice little entryway point. You know, I think that's a nice like place to start, because I think it's we wanted to like make that episode really good, and I feel like we did.
Fuck. You did a Mac and Me, dude? That's
we did Mac and Me. Oh. Yeah. It's in the second season that we did. And then other than that, I do a podcast every week on the Sklarbro, which is a part of the same network as you guys. Sklarbro is a subsidiary of Starburns, but we do Jonah Radio with Neil Mahoney, Cash Hartzell. It's a music podcast where like we have listeners submit like the bands they're in or their friends' bands, and we play them. But we also talk about like the music news, and I find all kinds of weird shit. Like recently we just found some like 12-year-old kids doing a cover of Walk by Pantera. And yeah, we like play shit like that and find weird stuff on that's dealing with music. So that's, and if you want to submit your music, Jonah Radio, RAYDIO@gmail.com.
Great, dude. Thank you so much for being here. This is a lot of fun. We're going to continue the conversation. Thank you everyone for listening. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out.